The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this Monday, April 1st. Yes, it is finally April. March has come and gone just like that. Pretty crazy to think that we are into the fourth month of 2024. I'm Jacob Goetz, your man for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. Alongside me in the studio as he is every single Monday, Wednesday, Friday, it's Uncle T-Bone. How are you, man? Great to see you. Hope you had a wonderful Easter weekend along with all of our listeners out there.
Yeah, great to be back, Jacob. Thank you so much. Did have an absolutely wonderful Easter weekend with the family. Did a lot of church stuff, hung out. We had an awesome live remote Friday.
Yes,
Fairway
we did.
Auto Brokers.
Yes.
And look, I know if you missed all the specials, they're still there. They're still working. So they'll still hook you up, get down there right now and tell them that Uncle T-Bone sent me, and they will take care of you, I promise. That was a lot of fun. And just rolled into the weekend and watched a tremendous amount of basketball. Tried to watch a little baseball, Major League Baseball cranked up. The Braves looked pretty good.
Yeah.
And just there is a ton going on. The Final Four is set. And that's going to be a little disappointing to some folks, some of our regular listeners around here. But we called it Friday. What did I say, Jacob? Ain't no way Alabama going to let this one get by, and they did not. So we got a ton to talk about. We got a special guest right here to start things out in April. So he'll be on with us for about 30 minutes. I'll let you introduce our good friend Chad Cosby. But Jacob, it's about 2:30. I figure we're going to get some phone calls about that Final Four. Give us a ring, 334-321-1390 here at On the Line.
Yeah, we'll open the phone lines coming up at about 2:30 and give you a solid hour to call in, give your thoughts, opinions on the Final Four, Major League Baseball, Auburn Baseball that continues to struggle through the toughest schedule in all of college baseball. So that's all coming up later on in the show. Jacob Hillman will be with us today, as well as he is every Monday from the Auburn Sports Network. But as Uncle T-Bone said, joined by not just a partner with us here at ESPN 106.7, but a guy that we've become just great friends with, a guy that you can talk anything with, and most importantly, sports, is Chad Cosby joining us from Game Day Men's Health in Auburn. Man, it's great to have you in the studio. It's great to bring you on the show for the first time, and I know we have so many things sports-wise to talk about, but man, really excited to talk to you and the people about your business, Game Day Men's Health.
Yeah, it's great to be here, guys. I appreciate you having me.
Well, people have heard your ad. There's no doubt about it. And it's one of the most popular ads I think we have on the station and around the shows with the one and only Uncle T-Bone's voice on it. And, man, it sounds so good. I mean, it is one of the better ones we have. There's no doubt about it.
When he let me listen to that for the first time to approve it before it went on air, I loved it.
Yeah.
And the way it comes across is it's exactly what we do.
Yeah, and so the reason we bring you in, we're going to get to so many sports conversations, your thoughts on Auburn basketball. You're a big baseball guy, so we'll talk Auburn, and of course, we got to talk about our Red Sox. Yeah, that's right. We got a Boston guy in town.
Gosh.
That's right. Yeah, we got him in the studio. We'll talk about our Red Sox, who started off hot and then have done exactly what we thought they would do. But we want to talk about Game Day Men's Health first. And for those that don't know what you do, who you are, and kind of how you got started, tell us a little bit about your business and yourself, how you got into Game Day Men's Health.
Yeah, so, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, I'm 42 years old, 43 years old as of last week, actually.
Okay, okay.
Well, happy late birthday.
Yeah, thank you. I started to just feel old and tired and not as motivated as I used to be, and I was struggling in the gym and all that stuff and didn't really know what was going on, and went to a place in Atlanta, got my testosterone checked, and it was low. So I started testosterone replacement therapy, and frankly, it changed my life. And here we are today, started the process for Game Day about a year ago, and we finally opened beginning of February, and That's what we're doing.
Folks, if you're listening right now, I want you to go to gamedaymenshealth.com. That's here in Auburn. And just take a look over this website, especially if you're around my age, because I'm even older than Chad, and I can attest to this, Jacob. Once you start hitting those late 30s and early 40s, the body just naturally slows down. The mind and heart thinks you can keep going, but the body's saying, Uncle T, I don't think so. And for quite some time myself, until I met Chad, right, until we did the ad, until we partnered up to promote this wonderful business now in Auburn, I still felt tired. Well, this is a personal testimonial, and I'm going to say that, you know, whatever happens at Game Day Men's Health is going to affect people differently, but I've been with Chad and his team now for about 6 weeks, maybe a little bit longer.
About since they opened.
And my testosterone was way low for a 49-year-old. And quite frankly, I started taking the procedures for it, and I feel a ton better. I can see a difference in my physique. I have way more energy. I sleep better, and I'm not just struggling to get that workout in. And I work out every other day, but for a long time, that was really really tough for me to do. And the testosterone treatments have been fantastic, Chad. I really appreciate you being here, man.
I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, it's made my life better.
Is that something that you typically hear from all your folks? I mean, I know it takes a little bit longer for some people than it does others. And like he said, it affects everybody a little bit differently. But I mean, is that something that you hear your customers talking about, is just when it starts to kick in, how much better they feel when they visit you guys?
That's exactly why we're doing it, is for testimonials like that. And there's nothing better than patients coming in after, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks and just saying, hey, listen, I'm a better husband, I'm better at work, I'm feeling better, and I'm just motivated to kind of be myself again.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's about. It's a business helping people get better in their lives. And you're not really selling a physical product. You're selling something that's going to make their everyday life that much better. And it's going to make them happier, make them perform better in all of their facets of life. And yeah, man, that's got to be a great feeling for you just to know you're helping so
Absolutely.
Many people in Auburn, Opelika.
Absolutely. Our motto is every man deserves to know his numbers. So what we do is we have an in-house lab. People come in, they get their testosterone checked, they get the results back in about 15 minutes, and then they meet with our medical team and discuss what's going on and where they're at.
The process is really cool. Like, you get over to Auburn Game Day Men's Health, that's gamedaymenshealth.com, book an appointment, and you get a free appointment. It's a no-cost consultation. Okay, what is no cost in today's world? I'm serious about that. And so you get in, you get to take a look at your numbers. I'm sure that there's plenty of you out there that were like me that had zero clue about what your numbers look like. And then once you get signed up, Jacob, you also get a couple of at least twice a year. Is that right, Chad? Your blood tested as part of the service. And that's important for someone like me who on a regular basis was not getting their blood checked.
Right. We're going to do comprehensive labs once or twice a year, and then we're going to do other labs every 3 months or so as you go on. So that's extremely important. I actually just got my results back this morning from mine. And
going to live forever.
I hope so. That's the goal.
Well, I'll tell you what, folks. I know this is radio and it's not television, but if you could get a good look at Chad right now and how ripped he is.
I wouldn't pick a fight with him in the bar. That's all I'm saying.
That's why he's on our side, Jacob.
That's
and
right.
He said
that's
something
right.
also earlier in his first round of talking with us. I just feel more locked in.
Right.
Like the eye contact, my concentration's
there. Our listeners have heard that the last couple of weeks.
I tell you what, I've been fired up, and I feel like I'm really on top of my game, and I think that it's the treatments, no doubt about it. Chad, it's not just low T, though. I'm looking over here at services, and I see 1, 2, 3. I mean, there's 12, 15 services that you're offering men around the community.
Yeah, we really have 4 core services. The business is built around testosterone replacement therapy, and then we do weight loss, semaglutide, tirzepatide, vitamin therapy, and peptide therapy.
Okay. And I mean, it's for anybody that has anything like that, or maybe they don't even know that they need it, right? That's something that's important, too. I mean, you go to the doctor, and they're like, hey, you got this problem. Let's try to fix it. That's exactly what you guys are trying to do.
Yeah, you typically know something's going on. You know, I don't have the energy that I used to have or the libido that I used to have. There's something going on. And a lot of times it can be testosterone. So that's why we're here.
for if you had and you have the platform right now, because we're going to wrap up talking about you and this business, because it's just you've become such a great friend of ours and you've become such a great partner at ESPN. And then we're going to get into some serious sports talk, because we got things we got to talk about here. What's the one thing you want people to know about Game Day Men's Health? If they don't know you, they haven't walked in that beautiful building over there, haven't heard the spot somehow, some way, what's the one thing you want people to know about Game Day Men's Health that they don't already know?
Don't feel like you're walking into a doctor's office. There's big screen TVs all over the place. It's all decked out in Auburn gear. And our medical team is just, they're top notch. You're going to feel comfortable when you walk in. And, the main thing I would want people to know is the test is free. Figure out what your numbers are. If you come in and you don't want to do anything about it, that's cool. But at least you know.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Jacob, after the last time I went in there for my second test and a follow-up from about 5 weeks after I started the testosterone treatments, I just hung out for about an hour afterwards and had some coffee, had some water. There were just guys in there watching golf, just it's chilling. Awesome. And I had a little bit of time to kill, and it was just nice. It was almost like going into the old-time barber shops.
Yeah.
And you just sit around and talk to folks.
Yeah, even if you're not there for an appointment, you just kind of hang out. Yeah.
So, Chad, I don't think you'd mind anybody just stopping by and seeing you at any time.
Not at all. That's why we're there.
Tell people where you are. Tell people how to find you, where they can go, online, everything. Plug it all.
Yeah, it's 2138 Moores Mill Road, so up near the Publix in Moores Mill. And you just give us a call at 334-209-3706 or go on our website, and we'll get you in.
Awesome. Game Day Men's Health. Check it out if you're wanting to. If you're wanting to just make yourself feel better. Go. Check it out.
It works, I'm telling you.
There you go. The personal testimony from Uncle T-Bone and then Chad Cosby himself. What more could you need? We'll take an early first break here in hour number one. We've got baseball to talk about, basketball to talk about. Who knows what else we're going to get into as we're rocking and rolling here in hour number one here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Don't go anywhere.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Back inside the studio here at ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. This is the Monday edition of On the Line. And let me say this, too. It's April 1st. I know it's April Fool's. I say this every year. I hate it. I absolutely hate this day because you can't get on social media. You can't live in the sports world because everybody tweets out and sends out and posts stuff that's not true. And look, I'm not engaged enough when I'm on social media. I'm kind of like lazily scrolling and I'll see something and I'll overreact, be like, oh, no way. And then it's like, oh, wait a minute. So I don't even get on social media on this day. And I hate April Fool's Day. It's not a real holiday, so I don't celebrate it. And so you won't hear any of that on this show from the next 2 hours. But we appreciate you being with us. It is crazy that it's April, but baseball season is upon us as we are joined by Chad Cosby from Game Day Men's Health. You're a big baseball guy. We were talking and some of the things you and I have bonded over is MLB and the Red Sox and Boston and Major League Baseball is back. It's underway. Opening weekend is behind us. So your takeaway is kind of on opening weekend across Major League Baseball and most importantly on our Red Sox, man.
How do you beat the Dodgers? Have you watched them play?
Yeah. I actually watched Sunday Night Baseball last night.
Yeah. What they're doing is just unbelievable. But being a Boston fan, it's going to be a tough year. It just is.
Yeah.
The pitching just isn't there. They're not signing any. They didn't do much in free agency at all.
We actually lost people.
Yeah.
If that's a thing. Yeah.
Yep. I went to Fenway last year. I try to bring up one of my sons every year. We went to Cooperstown after, and it was during the Braves series. It was all Braves fans there.
Braves fans.
Yeah.
Well, Braves fans are traveling, man.
Sure are.
And the fan base is growing because of what Atlanta is doing.
It's the best run organization in baseball right now.
Wow.
In my opinion.
Wow. How about
that? So you get up to Boston how often? Tell us where you're from. Are you from Boston proper or from west of there, east of there? Tell us about what it's like in Massachusetts. And what's it like being a Boston fan, a lifelong Boston fan?
It's amazing.
Because after knowing you and knowing our good friend Jeff Dakota from Sense of Green, it almost sounds like Boston fans are a lot like Auburn fans.
They are. It's me and Jeff grew up in the greatest time in Boston sports history. We had a 20-year run where the Red Sox were winning championships. We had Tom Brady there. The Bruins were winning. The Celtics were winning. You couldn't have asked for better, and here we are today. Celtics are good. Bruins are good.
Yeah, but they're great. God, we got to bring him in all the time to talk about Boston. Yeah, nobody else will talk Boston with me.
'80s there.
I was born in 81, Wade, so I'm not quite sure.
Not trying to age him on the radio. No,
but the only reason I picked up on that is that Jacob said that, you know, y'all started out hot. There's only been four games, and you're 2-2. And
we went 1-0, Wade.
You're throwing the towel in.
1-0 was hot for the Red Sox.
Just right? Auburn and Boston being Auburn and Boston. Is it Jabba with two Bs?
Sometimes, yeah, sometimes. And it's
there's a whole season to go, guys. And you're saying they're done. It's over.
We got the Orioles. We got the Yankees to deal with. You know, we'll see.
Yeah. Well, like you said, at least the Celtics and the Bruins are still good and supposed to be winning championships. They haven't done it in a minute, but they are at least supposed to be doing that. And, yeah, the Braves are off to a good start, and they're playing. I think they've got their series now against the White Sox. They're playing right now. Braves are up 3-0 in the bottom of the fourth inning.
They're going to be good for a long time. I'm trying to do everything I can. I got a 13-year-old at home and then two older kids, and I'm trying to do everything I can to make sure he stays a Red Sox fan.
Which is hard to do down here.
Right now it is.
So the Red Sox, obviously the Patriots. I'm taking a look at several of these mock drafts with the NFL draft coming on. Here's one over at CBSSports.com that with the third pick in the first round, the New England Patriots will take Drake May as your quarterback, University of North Carolina. Would you be satisfied with that?
I'm a Jaden Daniels guy. But I would be okay with it, as long as they draft a quarterback.
Are you finally glad that Mac Jones is not going to be the guy there anymore?
He's my least favorite Patriot of all time.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, man.
Get you some of that Mac Bama Jones.
Well, see, I had a buddy that's a Patriots fan, and he was convinced that Mac Jones was going to be the answer, and I was like, why? Like, what did he show you at Alabama that was actually going to convince you he was going to be good in the NFL?
His receivers at Alabama were open by 5 yards.
Right.
You know?
And he didn't even have to be accurate. He just had to throw it in the vicinity of them.
They were so good.
Where did he end up?
What do you mean?
The Birmingham Stallions?
He just signed with Jacksonville as their backup, I believe.
I think that's right. Yeah, I think he's with Jacksonville now. And, I mean, he's not good. He's not good. And then it also showed that Bill Belichick isn't as good as we thought he was, I think. I'm curious on your point on this, being the true Boston guy.
I see some steam coming out of somebody's ears.
Because you had two GOATs, right? You got Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. One GOAT leaves. He goes and wins a Super Bowl somewhere else, and the other one has been struggling ever since. What do you think about all that?
You know, my friends and me argue about this all the time. Jeff Dakota over at Sense of Green, yep. He loves Belichick.
Old Deco.
I'm a Brady guy. I think it was Brady.
Wow, I love it.
I mean, it's hard to argue against that, seeing how when Tom Brady left and went to Tampa, who had won a Super Bowl before, but only
it had been a while.
It had been a minute. It had been back in, I want to say, 2002 against the Raiders, I believe. Maybe right around there, maybe 2003 Super Bowl. And he, after two seasons, gets him a W and a big W over a team right now that's the new dynasty in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Now, they brought in a lot of talent when Brady went there, but they brought in a lot of talent to surround him, and he was still old as dirt and still got it done.
He had a lot of talent at wide receiver for their 18-0 year.
Mm-hmm.
If you look around, other than that, the wide receivers that left, they didn't really do much where they went.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, there was a year where Troy Brown was like his go-to.
Absolutely. I mean, it was like that most of his career, and he still won.
Well, you know, great quarterbacks make receivers better. I mean, that's what they're supposed to do.
It's not like definitely. He had Bo Jackson toting the rock either.
He did not.
I mean, there was a committee run by committee every single season with parts put together with WD-40. It looked like some of these guys.
Now, his first three
seasons. Kevin Falk was a player, but still.
He was a great player and an all-time Patriot. His first three Super Bowls, they had a great defense. A great defense.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Parcells and then Belichick came in.
Yeah.
But his last four were, I mean,
it was the offense. Yeah. And I mean, how many game-winning drives and game-winning plays and game-winning throws, right, that he has had in his career, whether it be regular season, postseason, or there at the end. I mean, he's just got that it factor that not many people have. It's the Tiger Woods of the world, where when they got to have it, they get it.
Probably not good for business, but 28-3.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean,
that was amazing.
Nobody else can do stuff like that.
It's not going to break my heart bringing up 28-3. I'm no Falcons fan.
I'm not a Falcons guy. I'm not a Falcons guy.
I mean, I remember Steve Barkowski, but that's been a long time since he played. Now, I can't remember this, so please jog my memory. Was Tom Brady Mr. Irrelevant?
No, he's pick number 199 in the sixth round.
That's a true Patriot fan right there, Jacob.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, he's got that probably tattooed on his massive bicep from Game Day Men's Health.
Probably. He's got Game Day Men's Health on one and 199 on the other.
Now, I'm going to say this. Do you think Tom Brady has low T now and needs to come see?
Tom Brady definitely does not have low T.
He's still riding from the last Super Bowl. He's doing just fine. Yeah. Well, Jim, we're going to keep bouncing around here. We got a few more minutes. On the baseball side of things for Auburn, I know you're a big Auburn baseball guy, and something that we're going to get into a little bit here on the show today. It's been a rough stretch for Auburn to start SEC play. It's been the toughest schedule in the country yet again for another Auburn athletics team. They're 1-8 now in conference play, coming off, I mean, just another tough series on the road.
There's not a break in the schedule. You look at the schedule and, I mean, they go to where? Vanderbilt, Arkansas, and then this past weekend? It's unbelievable. And then Kentucky's good this year?
Yeah, at number 4 A&M. Now you come home for who is now number 4 Tennessee. You still have, Kentucky, who's just hot as fire, who's a top 20 program, and LSU and State still on the road. I mean, where is the break for this Auburn team? It doesn't exist.
Mississippi State's looking good, too.
They're getting better.
Yeah.
Which is what they typically do.
Yeah.
So. What in your opinion, what do you think is the biggest struggle right now, biggest obstacle that Auburn's got to overcome with this Butch Thompson team?
Look, their hitting is fine. They're great at the plate. They're great on the base pass. Their defense is fine. It's pitching, you know? I think everybody can watch it and see, and that's just is what it is.
Yeah, and we were kind of talking before we came on today. It's, you know, this team in program, we're relying on Gonzo to be the guy, and he hasn't gotten to that point yet where he's been in the past and where we thought he was going to be. And then, the bullpen has some guys in there, but it's not as deep, I think, as what we were wanting it to be, especially when you compare it to the teams they're playing now in the SEC. On top of, you play tough midweek games all the time. You got to go to UAB tomorrow night.
Yep. They have an elite coaching staff, in my opinion. They've been to Omaha twice in the past, 4 or 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
You can't just shut your eyes at that. That's impressive. So I think we give them a little break here and see what they can do moving forward. They have to win, 14 or 15?
Yeah, that's typically the magic number in SEC play is 14 or 15 games, and they've got the one right now. And as we were saying, the schedule is just so tough. I mean, if you do the math – all right, if you do the math on it, on average, they would have to win every series from here on out.
Yeah.
Now, you could obviously get a sweep here and there and make that a little bit less where you could afford to go 1-2 or whatever. But on average, Auburn would have to win every series from here on out in the SEC to get that number.
Kidding about this schedule. I've got it pulled up over at AuburnTigers.com. And the midweek games, they'll be at UAB tomorrow at Regions Field in Birmingham. So if you're up in the Magic City, go check out your Tigers versus UAB. And then Tennessee comes to town. But here's a little couple of nuggets for you with two midweek games. One April 16th, where they host Georgia Tech, who's always good in baseball, and one in Atlanta on May 7th. They don't get a real break, if you can even call it a break, in my opinion, other than a possible midweek game against Florida A&M, until they travel to Missouri on May 10th, who is last in the SEC East right now, but still it's an SEC team.
Mm-hmm. On the road. I mean,
going on the road.
Right. You don't even get your easiest game at home. You get it on the road traveling to Como. And so, it's been a horrible draw for Auburn. But, I mean, at the end of the day, something we've been talking about with Auburn basketball in the tournament, right? You got to play the teams in front of you. Every other team's playing all these other SEC squads. The schedule just lines up pretty brutal.
You do. You look at some of these squads, Arkansas, their three starting pitchers were, they're big league guys, it looked like.
To starters, me. It seems like, yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. Chad Cosby from Game Day Men's Health, man. Thank you so much for being here. This has been a blast.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Check them out, gamedaymenshealth.com. Give them a call. Check them out. Look, if you need to feel better, just pay them a visit. Just do it. Don't be too proud. Just do it, and they're going to make you feel better. I can promise you that. Uncle T-Bone says they do. So if he gives his vote of confidence, that's really all you need.
Factoid.
Right? 30 minutes in to hour number one. We're going to open up the phone lines. We want to hear from you. We'll talk basketball when we come back here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
With Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Monday edition of On the Line. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz. Alongside me is Uncle T-Bone. And, man, we're going to get to the phone lines in just a second. They're lighting up like crazy. But how awesome was it to have Chad Cosby? Great friend of ours, even better guy, great business of Game Day Men's Health. And we've been trying to get him in here forever. Just schedules haven't lined up. But, man, you'll love talking sports with him and just a wonderful guy.
Well, he's just been super busy. They opened their business up on February 5th. They've been a partner with us since day one, and Chad and his team are just awesome people. That's a fantastic business. I cannot recommend their services more. And look, we were talking to him during the break, Jacob. We've tried to get this on air and forgot it. Game Day Men's Health is one of the fastest growing franchises in the country. Mm-hmm. Well over, it's just a couple years old with over 1,000 franchises now. That means it works.
They don't open it if it don't work.
I mean,
they're not going to put them up if it's not making a difference. And that's exactly what's happening. Look, I'm not a customer. I don't really qualify. Oh, but I will be. Believe me, I will be. And if you're talking about it, and so many of our friends that we hang out with and know around town are using it. They love it. And I'll tell you what, Jacob,
I told this story during break. I'm going to tell everybody. It's time to register your children for Auburn City Schools. That's what we're doing. And you have to have a proof of some type of utility bill. And I told the old lady, I said, just send them the Game Day Men's Health bill because that'll be the very last bill I stop paying. It's worth it. It is a utility in my life.
There you go.
Get to GameDayMen'sHealth.com. Get over there and tell them that JG and Uncle T sent you.
That's right. Hey, let's get to the phone lines. We're opening up, getting to the sports talk. 334-321-1390. We'll start with Mike. You're on the line. How are you?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Going good, man. What's on your mind?
Oh, everything's good. Enjoying this pretty afternoon.
There you go.
Hey, look at here. Went to the baseball game last week, had a great time. Every retired man like me, now if you don't have anything else to do, you need to go to Auburn baseball game.
I agree with that. Nah, totally. The midweek games to me are, I mean, look, everybody loves the SEC games, but I love the midweek games. Especially when they're played during the day. I mean, it's just nothing like baseball during the day on a weekday.
No, they let you drink your beer. They don't.
You drink beer, Mike?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, so do I. We'll have to get a cold snack together sometime.
But, you know, it's just the greatest beer. Moving to Auburn's the greatest thing I've ever done.
I think a lot of people would say that.
That's strong, Mike.
You know, I've lived all over. And I'm telling you, as far as an older man having fun besides playing golf with your buddies, sports at Auburn, you go watch the softball games and everything and just have a great time. Yeah, we're going to the basketball. I'm taking my grandson to the basketball game. He may never get to see another one.
Well, hey, look, so many people love Auburn sports, and they love going to the events, and I think Auburn Athletics has done a really, really good job when it comes to fan experience, especially at baseball with all the upgrades they're doing at Plainsman Park right now. Mike, it's great to hear from you, man. We appreciate the call. 334-321-1390. We'll continue as we get to Andy. You'll be on line two. We'll get to him in just a second. Andy, you're up, man. What's on your mind?
Hey, how are y'all?
Good, man. It's good to hear from you.
Glad y'all had a good Easter. Little kids make those days special.
Yeah, that's right.
No question.
So Alabama beat Clemson, and you did. You know, they covered, and I'm on the opposite of what you say, and doggone it, you're right on this one. But brings me back to what was a team in the very beginning that you said wouldn't go very far? Do you know which team I'm talking about, Uncle T?
Oh my! I mean, there, I picked several of them not to go very far, but well, I was not big on Purdue. I can tell you that.
Right. So I was like, you know, this is back when I was like, you know, Uncle T. So I left them out on all my brackets.
Oh man!
But it's all good. Listen, if you can pick this stuff, then
you haven't learned to fade him yet.
Well, yeah, I did. I took Clemson, and
so, I do a lot better in football season than basketball season, no doubt about it. But I'll tell you this: my bracket has officially gone in the shredder. Not this weekend, but last.
Well,
I'm not one of these people that's going to say they're always picking them right because I'm too honest.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I'm going to keep you. I'm going to keep you on your toes.
I like it.
But you know, no one knows this stuff. Listen, I. When we went down to Biloxi for March Madness, the beginning, you know, we're paying for experts, and they're wrong just as many times as they're right, and they're you know, they're charging for their comments. So it's all silliness. But I will say one thing that I've had to take some deep breaths about with Alabama, because it stinks for Auburn to be out and Alabama to keep winning. But there's so much going on in this world with this country. We don't need this turmoil and Auburn and what we've gone through with Gus and that other coach that came in. I've already forgot his name, and you know, hopefully we're on the up and up, everything looks good. But being an Auburn fan, I know we're one injury or one conviction away from, you know, losing our best player. So but all I gotta say about if we get some hate on Alabama today, isn't it great that we have the SEC championship from Alabama, we have a team in the Final Four from Alabama? I mean, isn't that a great thing for the state? That's what I have to keep telling myself anyway, so I can stay positive and, you know, just not hate on everything. Like I said, we have enough problems, so let's be proud. And the only thing I'm upset about is this bracket that we're in with 106.7. I was feeling a bunch of Alabama fans are going to be winning all that free stuff. But
probably so.
Other than that, we're proud for the state of Alabama and that we're a basketball state for some reason. But I think we have Pearl to thank for that for both schools, but we're going listen to y'all. Bye.
Yeah, appreciate the call.
Yep, thanks for the call, Andy. You can get in too here at On the Line, 334-321-1390. And I'd like to tip a glass to Andy right there. I think that's a fantastic attitude to have about Alabama being in the Final Four.
Look, which is kind of our first comments of the day about it.
Right. Look, man, you know, I'm a fan. You're a fan. We're all fans. I mean, I know y'all. We just had a mega Boston Red Sox fan in here. He'd hate to see the Yankees compete and win a World Series. But you know what, at the end of the day, tip of the hat to them. They've done a remarkable job. Nate Oates is a heck of a coach. You know, I'm not a big fan, but he's kind of growing on me, and I respect him. And look, Auburn needs to worry about Auburn. I mean, that's just what I'm going to say about it. You know, we don't need to look to the 2 hours and a half northwest across the state to see what's going on and how we're going to compete and how we're going to win championships. We need to look in the mirror. And that's the way I see it. Auburn needs to worry about Auburn. Good luck to Alabama. Whatever happens to them happens. We can't control that. We can only control us. And we need to be better about when we're in a big moment like the NCAA tournament, not getting bounced by the likes of Yale. I don't want to open this can of worms up again because I'm starting to get over it as a fan, although I think fans have been taking way too much abuse for that loss, for finally breaking in their jobbiness and had enough. Because we're all about job it out, and that's not going to help with Alabama being over there. But I'd take Andy's advice, and I'd take a big, deep breath, and I'd start worrying about Auburn.
334-321-1390. We continue getting to the phone lines. Lonnie Lochapoca, you're on the line. Happy Monday.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Going all right.
You think Lonnie's going to agree with the last caller and just be proud for the state of Alabama or not?
Probably not, knowing you. I don't think you're going to be
absolutely
super proud of that.
Not. Screw Alabama. I think it's, you know, let me ask you guys a question. You know what it's called when Auburn wins the SEC tournament and then Alabama makes it to the Final Four while we go out in the first round?
Lonnie from Lochapoca, what's it called when Auburn wins the SEC tournament?
how do you spell that?
J-A-B-A-A-A-A-A-A-A.
Well, look, I think...
But
look,
in all seriousness...
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me say something real quick, guys. I mean, look, when I say that, obviously I'm joking. I'm a huge Auburn fan. it does suck that Alabama made the Final Four. But for the fans that hate that phrase, and I take grief from some of my friends over saying that stuff too, let me tell you another phrase that I get real sick of hearing from the pumper side. And that phrase is War Eagle anyway. And
yeah, I don't like that.
I have heard that entirely too much. When you get trounced by Maryland in a bowl game, when you lose to New Mexico State, when you lose to Yale in the first round, the last thing that you may want to hear is Jabba, but I can promise you the last thing I want to hear is War Eagle anyway.
Or War Eagle always. That's another one too. Worse. Yeah, that one, people will put always at the end of it too. I hear that one a lot.
It's just, I mean, look, we all pull for Auburn. We're all big Auburn fans. We want them to win. But I feel like that is that goes back to what we were talking about last week. Loser mentality. It basically, you're saying, okay, it's fine that we lost to New Mexico State or Eagle anyway.
Here's the way I see it, Drew. Excuse me, Lonnie. Just had another thought on my mind. You know, anybody that's disappointed in what happened against Yale has all the right in the world to be disappointed about it. And after everything you just said that we just been through recently, from losing to New Mexico State to giving up the Iron Bowl at the last second to no-showing the bowl to seeing Auburn baseball get off to a bad start, and finally, after all these years of it that you've suffered through, many a moments where Auburn didn't rise up to the expectation or occasion, just like I have and longstanding Auburn fans have, and they finally break when we lose to Yale because Auburn basketball is what we're hanging our hat on, and we finally break and vent, we have all the right in the world to be upset, just like anybody has all the right in the world to say, well, you know what, it was a good season and we won the SEC. There's 100 different viewpoints that people can have. Don't come down on me. Don't come down on me, folks, for being very upset that we lost to an Ivy League school in the opening round of the NCAA tournament. It's ridiculous.
It also goes back to what you said last week about Auburn is going to have to get its rear end in gear with Texas and Oklahoma coming in.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't figure out how to win, we're going to get stuck in the middle of the conference in every sport.
I think baseball.
Auburn is going to have to figure it out, and I promise you that War Eagle anyway ain't going to help that.
Yeah, I think you're onto something, and I think a lot of people are in your camp as well, man. We appreciate the call, Lonnie. Always great to hear from you. Now, I want to jump onto that because this is really the first time today where we're really jumping into all of this with the Final Four being set, with Alabama being there, right? In the narrative that we were all worried about, and the thing we were all worried about was Alabama basketball getting the thing that Auburn basketball had over them. Auburn fans for the last 5 years have had one thing that they can hold over Alabama's head. One. And it's the fact that Auburn has made a Final Four and they have not. Well, you can't do that anymore because Alabama's now in the Final Four. And now you're even. You're even. Right? And so that's what gets a lot of Auburn fans like Lonnie upset is, okay, well, that's gone. Take the banner off the side of the building. Now what?
Yeah,
that's where a lot of people are getting upset.
I think Lonnie's been pretty upset for a couple of weeks. Didn't have anything to do with Alabama.
It's just more fuel to the fire, right?
There's no doubt.
With what you're saying is true, that multiple viewpoints on all of this can be true. It doesn't have to be everybody agrees on one side or the other. That's not possible. And I feel like Auburn fans and the Auburn community and just everybody that listens to us and is on social media, they're not just in Auburn. They're all over the state, all over the country. We got people all over the world. But it seems like that the mentality has been, we all have to agree. Every Auburn person has to agree on the same mindset on the state of each program, on the state of the athletic department, on the coaches and players that are here. And that's just not the case. That's never been the case anywhere. So why is that starting now? And to what you were saying, look, if you're upset that Alabama's in the Final Four, good, you have reason to be. If you're tipping your hat to them and saying congratulations, it's good for the state, good for you. That's also true. And you can agree with parts of it and not parts of it, right? You don't have to all have to be in agreement and in unison on everything. That's not how fandom works.
Well, Jacob, I think one of the main things that's upset me over the past couple of weeks, other than the loss to Yale, and it was a painful one, and I'm starting to get over it. Life goes on.
And some will never get over it.
There will be some people that don't, and that's okay. That's their deal, not mine.
Yep.
I think one of the things that has upset me more than anything is Lonnie said it. We use a lot of figures of speech, all of us, in describing how we feel about a situation with our fandom. And some of them are probably exaggerated, but that's how painful that loss was on some of the stuff I said when it first happened. And it upset some people. I wasn't trying to upset people. It's just I wanted people to feel how I felt. And that was really angry inside. Okay? And I'm not the only one. But what I think has caught people off guard, maybe powers to be even over at Auburn with this one, is that Auburn fans are really upset about this Auburn-Yale loss.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just a culmination of a ton of things that happened over not just the last year, but over many years. I mean,
many.
It's been and that was finally the straw that broke the camel's back, and they went crazy on social media. They went crazy on radio shows like this, and they're upset at the watering holes, and they're letting people hear about it. And when you're paid millions of dollars, whether you like it or not, you're going to hear about it. And to say things like, if you're hating on somebody, don't watch us, is a terrible sales pitch for anybody involved with Auburn Athletics. And to say things like, you're hurting our recruiting by speaking out is ridiculous. The only thing I think that Auburn people have hurt over the last couple of weeks with their criticism is some feelings. But they'll be back. We'll be back. We'll be in Jordan-Hare come opening day. We'll be back Neville Arena. We'll be back at Plainsman Park, because Auburn fans are some of the best fans in college sports, whether you like it or not, because look at what we've been through. I mean, we had Doug Barfield as a head coach one time.
Oof.
I mean, we replaced a living legend in Pat Dye with Tater Tot Bowden. I mean, I can go on and on and on. You know what? I haven't abandoned this university, but sometimes I feel like they abandon me as a fan, and we can get more into that after the break.
We'll get to our final break of hour number one. We got K-Bag on the line. We'll try to squeeze him in. When we come back, our final break, we'll wrap up hour number one on the other side.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Let's get to the phone lines once again as we wrap up hour number one, 334-321-1390. K-Bag, you're on the line, man. Great to hear from you on this Monday afternoon.
Good afternoon. Live from I-85.
Yes, South sir.
In the swells of South Carolina today.
Okay. Well, man, safe travels there and back, and we appreciate you listening and calling in. You got a couple of minutes. What's up?
Well, I appreciate Lonnie coming in and saying what he said. I don't give a darn what Alabama plays in. I want the chess team to lose, if they can even spell chess.
I've heard back from the days, this longtime Auburn fan I worked for, K-Bag, who said, if Alabama was going up against Saddam Hussein, I'd be pulling for Iraq.
No question. No question. But, I want to talk about a little bit of this culture issue that I believe the athletic department and the fan base has. Lonnie said it pretty good. You know, the War Eagle anyway is just absolutely ridiculous. You know, it felt like in that game there in the last, 5 minutes or so, that Auburn was playing not to lose the game instead of playing to win the game. And we have been let down way too many times here as of recent. And not to pick the scab from last week or not, and people's, saying that, we won the SEC championship and they're comparing the Tony Barbie days and all that stuff before Coach Pearl came in. But, the expectations are relevant to how we are today. And the expectation is pretty darn high.
Yeah.
And there's no moral victories in this game. And, nobody remembers who was leading the first 10 laps of the Daytona 500. Everybody remembers who led the last 10 laps. And Auburn lost those last 10 laps last week. And it was, you know, I'm going to go ahead and say it was embarrassing. It was absolutely embarrassing. And there's a lot of people, myself included, that spend, you know, a good bit of their hard-earned money. And there's folks that spend more money than I do, you know, traveling. And we travel pretty well. And that goes to show you the amount of pride that we have in our school, that we spend our money and we spend our time on supporting our athletics program.
Right, but yeah.
When we fall short and we continually fall short, you got to, like Uncle T-Bone said, you got to look yourself in the mirror, you know, and figure out what our problem is.
That's
not
right.
Not worry about what's going on 2.5 hours up to the Northwest. If we handle our own business and we take care of ourselves, then we don't need to worry about anybody else.
Bingo. K-Bag, you said it better than we could, man. We appreciate the call from South Carolina today up against our top of the hour break, but I think that's a perfect way to end hour number one. We'll get into hour number two. We'll talk more basketball, Final Four, baseball as well. That's all coming up here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
Is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well. April 1st, 2024. Yes, we are in the month of April. And what does that mean? About a third or a fourth of the year is already gone. Isn't that wild to you? As 2024 is rolling right along. And so is the Monday edition of the show. Hour number one is in the books. If you missed any of that, you can catch up with the podcast later on today. You'll find it on our station website at ESPNAU.com or just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. We had great friend of ours, Chad Cosby, in studio for the first 30 minutes from Game Day Men's Health. Got to talk a little bit about what he does, what they do, how they can help you if you're looking to, if you're a man and you're, what, in 30s, 40s, whatever the case may be, and you're just looking to feel a little bit better. Go check him out at GameDayMen'sHealth.com. Talked a little sports with him, a little baseball and basketball with the Boston guy himself, so that was fun. And then started getting into the basketball conversation with Alabama being in the Final Four. We're going to talk about those games here in hour number two. We're also going to be joined by Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network to get caught up on everything going on around Auburn athletics. That includes baseball, softball, and A-Day coming up this weekend for Auburn football. But until then, phone lines are open, 334-321-1390. We're going to get to John in just a second. But before we do, I want to take just a minute for myself, which I don't typically do. But today, April 1, is a very, very, very special day for me in terms of this show. Today is 2 years on the money that I've started hosting this show. Today is 2 years that I've been solo hosting, I've had some people rotate through as my co-host, but 2 years ago today, on April 1, is when I took over as host of this show and hosted it solo for, oh goodness, about 4 or 5 months, every single day, 2 hours on this station. And man, it's been a blast, man. I mean, it has been so much fun every single day, no matter what's going on outside the studio, what's going on outside the four walls, whether it be work, whether it be life, whatever the case may be, man. 2 years is a long time to do something like this, and man, I'm just I'm so fortunate and blessed to do what I do, to have the people listening that I do, to have the people in the studio that I do, whether it be guests or co-hosts or interns, whatever the case may be, and most importantly to the listeners every single day, man. This has been such a blessing to me, and it's only grown. I mean, what we've done in 2 years here is really unbelievable, and On the Line was not something I created, but it's something that I've grown, and I'm really proud of it, and I just want to say thank you to everybody that listens every day, man. It truly is an honor and a blessing.
Well, congratulations, Jacob, on your two-year anniversary. You are one of the hardest-working young men I know and have ever met. You do a heck of a job. You've got nothing but a bright future in broadcasting ahead of you, whether it's here or somewhere else. We hope it's here for a very long time. Your show is awesome. I'm dang proud to be part of it. And let's just keep it rocking and rolling, man. We're having a lot of fun. And what do we always say? Nobody's working as hard as us.
And nobody's having more fun than we are.
That's
right. And I fully believe that. And I thank you for being here for the days that you are and how long you've been, and can't wait to see where we go from here. So again, that'll be the only time I talk about it, but just thank you for 2 years, man. It's been unbelievable. So let's get to the phone lines. Let's talk a little bit more. 334-321-1390. John and Auburn, you're first up in hour number two. What's up?
Hey, I tell you what, I don't think I can follow that. Congratulations, Jacob.
Thank
Good
you.
Job. And,
Thank
and
you.
And like I've told you personally, on and off air, great job with the show.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much, John.
Hey, had a comment on Alabama's Final Four run.
Yeah.
In my opinion in basketball, and I have a baseball point here in 1 second as well, but in my opinion in basketball, I think these Final Four runs and a lot of these runs that teams make in tournaments are a little overrated. So, for instance, look at Auburn in the SEC tournament. Yes, Auburn was the best team in the Southeastern Conference over the course of a weekend, and that took beating, you know, South Carolina, Mississippi State, and Florida. I mean, it's not exactly a murderer's row. You look at this Alabama team, and yes, they beat North Carolina, who was a vulnerable number one seed, in Los Angeles. The other three wins are Charleston, Grand Canyon, and Clemson. I feel like in basketball we take a very small sample size and elevate it on a grand scheme and then say, oh, this is the Final Four coach,
which is
the Final Four program.
And I think sometimes I love where you're going.
It's different when Auburn faces a murderer's row like they did in 19.
Yeah,
but I think with a very small sample size in postseason basketball, I think it gets elevated, and I'm not sure that it gives you a just result with the small sample size.
I'm 100% with you, and that's why I've continued to say on this program, every day that this gets brought up, that is why the NCAA tournament and the way that it's formatted with 68 teams and the massive tournament that it is, this is not the true way to crown a national champion. This is not crowning the best team. This is crowning a team that beats the ones in front of them, has the ball bounce their way a lot. And yeah, you can't tell me that, and this is not just for Alabama. Look at anybody that's made a run to the Final Four. Sometimes they go through that murderer's row like you talked about with Auburn in 2019. But then, yeah, sometimes you get Charleston, Grand Canyon, North Carolina, and Clemson. And this is basketball, not football, so Clemson's not as daunting as it would be in that sport. So, I mean, can we really say that a team like Alabama or other teams, I'm not just saying this because it's the Crimson Tide, like, is that really the path we want to crown somebody for being a top four team in the country? There are other ways to do it. Look at what football's doing. Look at what baseball's done for so long, or softball. All these other ones that do it different ways. It's not the way to crown a national champion, in my opinion. So you're right. Sometimes it does get elevated to, hey, they made it to the Final Four, but they didn't beat a whole lot of good teams. But that doesn't make it any less hard.
Correct. I mean, I think of Jim Larranaga at Miami. I think he's done a much better coaching job building that program than he did making a Final Four run at George Mason.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Let me jump in here, John, with that real quick.
Go ahead.
I am of the belief that the NCAA tournament, in my opinion, is the best way to do it. I don't know what other way they could do it. But I do see where Jacob's coming from this, because whether you like it or not, this still isn't a true, I don't want to say tournament, but way to really name a champion, because there's a committee involved that picks who goes where and who does what. And there's no doubt in my mind that this committee this year had a serious bias against Auburn. You had three folks strongly out of the Birmingham, Tuscaloosa area that were very high up on that committee and very influential, and you saw what happened to Auburn's draw, which I think everybody on earth other than that committee can agree was ridiculous. So whenever you got a committee involved picking who's going to play where and who's going to play who and where someone's seated, and unless you have some type of formula like a professional NFL or NBA.
Bingo.
And true playoff.
Where the results matter.
But you've got a committee. It's still just, I think it's the best possible beauty pageant that you can have to name a champion in college sports, but it's still a partial beauty pageant. There's still bias involved in picking who plays where and who plays who.
Well, here's where I was going to go with that. You know, and I know he already got an extension at Alabama, but you look at Nate Oates at Alabama, and you know everybody's going to look at him as, oh, that's a Final Four coach. Look at what he did at Buffalo. I'll be 100% honest with you. I would, as an Auburn fan and as a diehard Auburn fan, I would much rather he be the head coach at Alabama than a Buzz Williams or a Todd Golden, who I think are much better coaches than he is. But they don't have that Final Four next to their name,
yeah.
So they don't get viewed the same way, and I think it's baloney.
Well, I mean, and I think that's up to everybody's opinion on your coaching, your coaching tree, right? And whether who you think is a better coach. I think all those guys you named are really good. But you're right, that Final Four, there's a reason they hang banners for it, right? It means something. It carries a lot of weight. And yeah, I mean, it could get blown out of proportion sometimes, but it still is a big deal. But I 100% get what you're saying.
And the weight of a Final Four banner on the outside of Coleman Coliseum may finally knock the building down. So it may prove beneficial for Alabama. Hey, last thing I was going to share. I'm a huge Major League Baseball fan. Not sure if you saw it. Big Braves fan, and of course, not a big fan of Phillies or Mets. Rhys Hoskins this weekend playing the Mets was the best thing I've seen in sports all year.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Did you think it was a dirty slide?
No. Did you?
He spiked him on the other side of the bag.
McNeil did the same thing to Vaughn Grissom, I think, last year in Auburn, or last year in Atlanta,
yeah.
But missed the bag by about 10 feet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could see why the shortstop would be upset. I'd been ticked off too, but you know what? If you're that ticked off, you should have just settled it right there and jumped on him.
Yeah, like through the, I forgot his name, Tim Anderson. Yeah. We'll see. Hey, enjoy the show. Congratulations again, Jacob.
Thank you very much, John. Appreciate the call, man. 334-321-1390. I get what John is saying. I do. I absolutely get what he's saying. When it comes to the weight that being a Final Four team and program is and what that carries as a coach. And again, I mean, it is celebrated for a reason. There's a reason that Auburn fans hung that above Alabama for 5 years, because a Final Four is important. But what he's saying is, okay, while it is very important, it is very hard to get there. You can't say that every team has gone through the toughest path or one of the toughest paths to get there, because that's just not true. But that's how the tournament's set up. So, I mean, there's no way to critique it right now, because that's how it's been for so long.
Yeah, I mean, it's the way that a champion is determined and has been for a long time. In my opinion, it's one of the best ways to do it in college sports. If they come up with some other way to do it that takes out any kind of committee and bias to determine who plays who and where, I'll be all up for listening to it.
I'm going to have to
disagree with John, though. I'd much rather see Nate Oates out of Alabama as Auburn fan. I mean, he's a heck of a good coach, and he's done a fantastic job there. And look, that guy in that program will do just about anything to win. I mean, did you see the article this week in the Washington Post about Alabama versus North Carolina?
Oh, you weren't talking about the Kim Mulkey one for LSU, huh?
Oh, no, I'm not talking about that one yet, but Alabama, apparently, here's the headline: Alabama's secret weapon, sign stealing, note passing graduate assistants. And Jacob, it worked out that the teams with the higher seeds in the Los Angeles area for those games, the UNC game and the game yesterday, so UNC and I've already forgotten who Clemson played. Their teams got their fans got to sit behind the benches. Well, Alabama's fans were sitting across from University of North Carolina's bench. They send four graduate assistants in there, and they're tracking everything that North Carolina's doing, and they're screaming out plays that North Carolina's running. You know, alerting their players that somebody's moving or whatever, and passing notes to Nate Oates.
Notes to Oates.
How about that?
That's going to be what they call it.
And notes to Oates. I like it. And it obviously helped. I mean, they'll do anything to win up there, Jake. I mean, apparently it's not illegal as of now, unless they had been transmitting those notes electronically, and they weren't. But I mean, man, that's pushing the envelope right there to get a competitive advantage. And that's what I'm talking about, Auburn fans. Wake up, man. We've got to put pressure on this athletic department to push the envelope as far as we can push it to win, because everyone else is.
Let's get to the phone lines again. 334-321-1390. Bama Dog, you're on the line. Great to hear from you, man. It's been a while.
Hey, man, been a while. Congratulations, sir.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate that. You've been a long-time listener, man. I appreciate that.
And I apologize for not calling the way I used to, but because of my job now, I'm between Montgomery, Prattville, and Opelika. So
okay,
it's been kind of tough. But I was able to listen in today, and man, let's start with this sign stealing thing. That article, all the information was fed to the Washington Post by somebody from the University of North Carolina. Let's get that out there right off the bat. So we don't now. How is that going to help Mark Sears make a 40-foot? 3-point shot.
I agree with that.
That's what I want to know.
No, the only
how's that going to happen?
No, I agree with that. But on the defensive side, it helped Alabama bow up at times on North Carolina. If it didn't help, they wouldn't be doing it.
They're terrible. Alabama's terrible on defense.
Well, they needed all the help they could get.
Well, listen, they're terrible on defense. They're still averaging, giving up almost 80, 90 points a game. You're going to have to outscore them. That's all it is to it.
Yeah, pretty much.
You have to outscore Alabama. And then as far as Nate Oates, man, what, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, that guy was coaching high school basketball.
He was a high school math teacher, yep.
Yeah.
In Romulus, Michigan, and specialized in statistics. And so this is how Bama going to beat you. You can score all the twos you want, but we're gonna put threes on you.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to put threes on you, and if we put up enough of them, and you don't, you're going to lose. It's simple as that.
No, I have to agree with you on that. The Davis kid for North Carolina couldn't hit anything the other night. One for 10 at one point in the first half.
Clemson did the same thing. They just started hucking up threes.
Yeah, they sure did.
But I'm going to disagree with you real quick, Bama Dog. I think the way to beat Alabama is to get physical and attack the rim and get them in foul trouble, because if you're going to go 3-for-3 against the Tide, you're going to get beat.
They get in foul trouble all the time.
Yeah, and that I'm with them on that.
Talking about Murderers Row, you do know Alabama's played Gonzaga, Arizona, and Purdue at the beginning of the season.
And lost them all.
They lost all of them, but they learned something too.
Which I think that's which is very important, and I think it has come back and 100% helped them by playing all those games in the regular season. There's no doubt about it. I think it has 100% helped them in this run in the NCAA tournament, because they played the biggest programs in the sport.
They sure did, and their confidence has went up out the roof.
Mm-hmm.
Latrell Risel, that guy wasn't shooting like that at the beginning of the season.
Mm-mm.
They all have to make that guy take open threes. He won't take them.
Hey, I'll tell you one thing.
His dad said he wouldn't take them.
Yeah, when he was young. You threw two names out there, but you've missed one, and I think he's been the entire key to this run, and it's Aaron Estrada. That guy is playing out of his mind, and he is distributing the ball. Incredible. He is a heck of a player. Fact.
I would hate to guard that guy.
I'd hate to guard any of them.
You don't know what he's gonna do.
Right.
And then he's left-handed.
Yeah, and you're right. They all are playing with such confidence, and that's such a big factor in the NCAA tournament, man. It doesn't matter if you're the best team or not. Look, Alabama's not the best team, but they're now in the Final Four. And this is not even the best Alabama team we've seen it with Nate Oates. Last year's team was better than this year's team, and here we are, they're in the Final Four.
And then they did, in the last two games, they won without a 44% three-point shooter.
Yeah.
Their Rice kids shoot 44% from the arc. And they choose those guys out for taking only a couple of players allowed to take mid-range. That's Estrada and I think Grant Nelson.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
And the big guys, of course, but everybody else, you better shoot a three. He's gonna put you on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Who don't want to play for a guy like that?
I mean, if you're a shooter, man, that's the place you want to be.
Absolutely. Okay, so who you guys got tonight, Iowa or LSU?
Ooh, it's a good man. I'm torn on it. I really am. Isn't that crazy? I mean, there's so many people excited about women's college basketball, and I think it's great. I really do. I think it is fantastic.
I think it's fantastic.
I'm gonna go with Caitlin Clark in Iowa, man. I got to go Caitlin Clark. I think she's balling out. I know LSU had their number last year, but I'm gonna take her just to take over and be the reason. LSU may be the better team, but I'll take Caitlin Clark in Iowa. But it could go either way.
I'm gonna take Caitlin Clark. They were interviewing one of the young ladies that were guarding her last year on LSU, and she was like, "Oh, you gonna take a three from the logo? Nah, you can have that one." And she made it. She's like, ooh.
Yeah, I mean, she's tough, man. Hey, she's tough. Hey, Bama Dog, it's great to hear from you, brother. We got to go to a break, man. Great to hear from you.
Absolutely. Y'all have a good one.
You too, man. Appreciate the call. 334-321-1390. That is a long-time listener right there, folks. So we appreciate him calling in on the road. And every time he can listen in or call in, we appreciate it. We got to get to a break here in hour number two. Phone lines are still open for the next few minutes. 334-321-1390. Back after this on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Got a couple of more minutes before we get to the bottom of the hour. Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network will join us. We'll talk all things Auburn athletics, get a ton of updates from over the weekend and coming up this week around the Plains. But let's get to the phone lines again. They've been nonstop today, and we figured it would be that way on this Monday afternoon. 334-321-1390. Spectre, you're on the line. Happy Monday.
Hey, happy Monday to you guys. Props to both of you. Props to your two-year anniversary.
Thank you, sir.
And you're welcome. And
props to my two-month one.
Well, your props are coming for North Carolina State.
Ah, yeah, the pack, my man.
They continue to roll, man.
Yeah, but sad to say it stopped Saturday, though.
See, I've said that the last three games, and here they keep going. I don't know.
How awesome is that matchup going to be to watch between DJ Burns Jr. and Zach Edey?
Yep. That's right.
That's going to be must-watch television. That's going to be like a WWF between like Andre the Giant and the Junkyard Dog.
Well, Alabama's going to meet their fate, too. So, UConn and
we Purdue shall see, again. Spectre. We yeah. shall see.
Hey, before I let you go, on your two-year anniversary, who was that guy sit in with you for a while? Me and him have had a pretty good banner going back and forth.
I think you're talking about Mr. Carter Byrd.
Yeah, Northwestern guy.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, okay. I just trying to think of his name when you were talking about all that.
Yep, Carter Byrd. Still a good friend of mine and out in law school out in Arizona.
Spectre, you got your voodoo doll out or something?
Working on it, buddy. Working on it.
Carter, if you feel a sharp pain in the back of your neck, Jacob gave Spectre your name.
Oh, man. Yeah. I don't know about all that. Spectre, I appreciate you, man. You've been a long-time listener as well, man.
See you guys.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. 334-321-1390. Spectre, along with so many people, loyal listeners, loyal callers. I mean, that when they so many people have told me over the last 2 years, and really over the last year is when it's really started to grow, is the fact that they can't wait for 2 o'clock to roll around. And they turn on. And that, I mean, man, when people start telling me that, it really means something. It does. And so I appreciate
everybody.
You know,
I saw that when we had our out at the Plaza Bar, had our live remote to tip off the tourney a couple of weeks ago. Golly, it feels like a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
The tournament's almost over and it's April. But just people that aren't callers but came up that were just shaking our hand and wanted to talk to you, especially that we're longtime listeners.
Yeah,
that's really awesome. You don't really know who's listening out there, but when folks come out and show you the support, man, it makes you want to do better.
Yeah, and I mean, look, there are tons of people that listen every single day to this show, this station, other stations in our family here at Auburn Network. That, I mean, now they don't call in, probably never, but they listen every day and they're loyal. And I just want everybody to know that I know that, and I thank you so much for that. Speaking of one that's a very loyal listener, Steven in Texas listens every day. And he tweets at me, and he was asking if you were an Auburn grad, Uncle T-Bone, which you are. And he said, I know it's early.
Not a trick question.
He said, I know it's early, but ask Uncle T to give his... He said, to lean Bama plus 11.5 points versus UConn Saturday. He said, please let him pick UConn. Hashtag jinx. He wants you to pick Bama with the points so that way UConn can actually win.
I mean, that didn't work last week. I took Bama straight up.
And you picked NC State.
Again, yeah, not even needing the points.
I'm the one that's been terrible,
and,
man.
NC State... Golly, they're playing emotional.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Basketball. I love it.
I saw somebody say it earlier. Is this the best run we've ever seen?
If they finish it off, it will be.
I think it already could be. I mean, man, they've won 9 games in a row.
Tell my man Steve in Texas, that line's already gone up with Alabama from 11.5 to 12.5 from what I see. And I'm going to have to wait a little bit in the week to see how that thing moves, because I said it Friday, and I'm going to say it to everybody right now. Underestimate those people at your woe.
Yeah, they've been underestimated pretty much the entire tournament, and here they are, Alabama taking down Clemson, who, by the way, we'll talk more about this as we go and into tomorrow, but Clemson had every chance to win that game, and they panic like every other team has done, and they just start shooting threes, and right. Like you said, if you go shot for shot with them from behind the arc, go ahead and pack your bags and get on the plane.
You got to attack the rim against Alabama. Yep. Be physical, out-rebound them, and put defensive pressure on them. It's the only way to beat them, and they're about to run up on a team that specializes in all of the above.
Yes, they do. We'll talk some more about that as we go and into tomorrow as well. But Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network joins us when we come back. We'll talk all things Auburn Athletics here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goertz. On ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 more minutes here on the Monday edition of On the Line. We're having a lot of fun, and we appreciate you being with us here on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goetz. He is Uncle T-Bone, and this guy joins us on the phone lines every single Monday at this time. It is Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network. Man, happy Monday. It's great to hear from you once again. And, hey, we have a Final Four set, finally.
Yeah, it's always good to be with you guys. Happy to be getting ready for A-Day this weekend as well, and a big weekend on the plane.
Well, before we get to all of that, I know Auburn's not a part of it. I know Auburn's not in it, but with the NCAA tournament, we do have our Final Four teams that are going to be participating and competing for the national championship, and it's teams that maybe not everybody had. It's Alabama taking on UConn, and it's Purdue taking on the 11 seed, the NC State Wolfpack. Man, summarize this tournament for us in your own words. I know you've watched most of the games, so just summarize it for us, what the craziness of this tournament was to you.
Yeah, it's been something, especially with the run by NC State. I think that's kind of the one story I paid most attention to, and especially the character of DJ Burns and his play in the NCAA tournament, especially I think earlier today I saw a report about NFL GMs taking a look at him, like that's going to about to
oh
anything
my gosh.
At all. And I just don't. Obviously, I think that he's more focused on his play in the NCAA tournament. So, it's been cool to see that team make its first Final Four in over 40 years. But I mean, overall, it's hard to doubt the UConn Huskies and the way they've been playing, especially with that margin of victory. I think 15 to 20 points every game they've played over the last 2 years in the postseason, whether that's the Big East tournament or the NCAA tournament. They've really been dominant, and it's hard to imagine them slowing down for this upcoming weekend.
I mean, did you have any of these teams? I mean, maybe UConn, maybe Purdue. I mean, did you have any of these teams in your Final Four?
No. I thought Iowa State would maybe catch UConn slipping. I thought Duke. I had Duke in the Final Four as well as North Carolina, and because I had Iowa State, and I actually thought Auburn would hopefully get through the Elite Eight, but I had Iowa State coming out on top of that one, and okay. I had Creighton winning the national championship.
Okay, Creighton, the Blue Jays, who I mean they had their chances.
They did, but then Tennessee happened. So.
Jacob, now that basketball season is over, everyone's taking a good look and a good deep breath after the loss to Yale about the roster. What do you think? What do you think's happening right now about trying to convince Jani Broome, Chad Baker-Mazar, make sure that no other team comes in and NIL takes him away from us? Maybe some Dylan Cardwell. Yeah. What's this roster going to look like? What's the early word on people coming back? And then also, who all? You know, how hard are we going to hit the transfer portal if everyone does come back?
Right. Yeah. It's really interesting because obviously right now the only name we know of is Katie Johnson, that he has entered the transfer portal and he intends to leave Auburn and go elsewhere. Obviously there's that slight chance he could come back, but I don't see that happening. And I think you have to look at that postseason press conference Coach Pearl had at the beginning of last week, where he talked about Todd Pettifer, the 5-star combo guard that's coming in. He's the number one point guard in the class, but what Coach Bruce Pearl said is he's going to be a shooting guard. He's going to play off the ball, and I think that is potentially just him trying to settle in that 5-star guard into the rotation and get them ready, especially because like Coach said, is that that's really his strength, is scoring the basketball. And when you can have a 1-2 punch at the 2 with Denver Jones as well as Todd Pettifer, you're going to be looking pretty good, as well as another year under the belts of hopefully Aiden Holloway and Trey Donaldson. And I think that's part of that pitch is, hey, Aiden and Trey can come back and be point guards again while Todd Pettifer settles in. Now, if you go down low, look at the front court, Jani Broome, who knows? He could go replace Jalen Williams at the 4 and start there, and you go into the portal and grab a star center, and that's really the biggest portal need you would need. And that's kind of what's interesting is I don't really know the answer to your last question, because I think it really depends on what this coaching staff sees this roster looking like from a position standpoint. And I know we talk about this sometimes where there's positionless basketball, but I don't think this team this past year really did that as much until Jalen went down with that injury. You saw Jani move up to the 4 with Dylan at the 5 and different things like that. Denver Jones played at the 1 whenever the point guard struggled a little bit, but that's really not something I think we're going to see more consistently of. I think there are going to be those set positions, other than maybe Pettifer, where he'll play between the 1 and 2. So I'll be interested to see how hard Auburn truly hits the portal. Obviously, there are those reports out there of who Auburn's contacted and whatnot, but it really hasn't been as many players as I might have expected, because I do think that there is such a heavy emphasis on trying to get some of these guys to return.
Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network joining us here on the Monday edition of On the Line. He's with us every single week at 3:30. It's been a rough go at SEC play for Butch Thompson and the boys for Auburn baseball. And look, while we and Auburn fans probably wanted some more wins, I mean, this has been the toughest stretch in college baseball that they've had to go through, and it doesn't get any easier, man. What's kind of your takeaway so far of what Auburn baseball has been going through the first couple of weeks of conference play?
Yeah, it really is. It's been a tough go at it, like you said. It's not been what you expected, especially out of the pitching staff. I think the offense has played the way it needs to win games, but here and there, the pitching has obviously not been up to par and up to expectations. And I thought earlier this year that the staff was ahead of where it was at the beginning of last year. And sure enough, that hasn't been the case so far in SEC play. But I will say the big thing is that you got two of your toughest road series out of the way here at the beginning of SEC play. And now you're coming up on two consecutive home series where you're going to have some of the biggest crowds in Plainsman Park history this upcoming weekend against a top 5 Tennessee team, obviously with 8A weekend coming up. And then you're going to have this is as easy as the schedule's going to get. It's whenever you face off against Kentucky. And I think over these next 2 weeks are when you're going to have to see Auburn try to turn that corner and really push itself over the hump, especially with the pitching, and figure things out. This Tennessee team scored a lot of runs against Georgia this past weekend. Obviously, gave up a lot of runs as well in one of those games. So we could see a lot of offense, I think, this weekend at Plainsman Park. But I do think the key is obviously that pitching, finding a little bit of consistency, and becoming more comfortable here in SEC play.
Jacob, you mentioned A-Day, 1 o'clock this Saturday. What's the format for the game going to be like? How are they dividing the roster? Is there any kind of surprises that Auburn fans need to be aware of? And a couple of players that Tiger fans need to keep an eye on?
Yeah, we'll see. I quite frankly, I think that the format and everything is still getting worked out a little bit. We know with these spring games what they're like and how coaches and these coaching staffs like to try different things, try situational things. So we'll see what Hugh Freeze and company come up with coming up. But, yeah, I mean, talking about some of the players that you got to look out for, I think the obvious one is the freshman wide receivers and Bryce Kane, as well as Cam Coleman, because those two guys are part of the Freeze Four that everyone's talking about this year. And I think that that's very important to really highlight this weekend. And I think those guys are both going to be absolute playmakers this year and are important to this roster and this offense. Obviously, we've seen Peyton Thorne. We know a little bit of what to expect, and we hope that he's grown a little bit, and we'll see that this upcoming weekend. But that's definitely on the offensive side what I'm looking forward to, and I think that those guys have a chance to show out, really give a taste of what Auburn fans should expect this fall. And then on the defensive side, I think it's the guys that are going to be covering them, because we talked about it last year going into the season, how experienced the defensive backfield was, and that being the strength of the Auburn defense. This year, it's not as experienced, but there's plenty of talent back there, and there's a few key returners in Keontae Scott and Kayan Lee that I think can really set the tone for the younger guys and the new guys coming in and having them play. So I'm looking forward to those guys and seeing what they can do defensively, especially against some of those tough freshman receivers as well as the experienced receivers. So I'm excited to see that battle between the receivers and quarterbacks coming up on Saturday.
And, of course, with A-Day, it's such a special day for so many Auburn fans, right, who get to travel and come down and experience the A-Day festivities and get to come to a game and pay, you know, not very much money to go into the stadium and see the team for the first time and come down and experience the entire day with Plainsman Park with the baseball game, too. So that aspect of it is really special for a lot of folks.
Yeah, it's going to be an absolutely jam-packed weekend, and tickets on sale for A-Day are available at AUBTIX.com for just $10. And like you said, it's going to be a full day of action here on the Auburn University campus. You got Auburn baseball against Tennessee at 3:30 Central. Auburn softball is hosting a doubleheader, the War Eagle Classic against Louisiana Tech and Georgia Tech. You can go to those games at J.B. Moore Field on Friday and Saturday. And then you've got men's tennis as well hosting its final regular season weekend of the year on Saturday. So, yeah, there's a lot going on, whether it's at the Yarborough Tennis Center, whether it's at Jarrett-Hare Stadium, Plainsman Park, J.B. Moore Field. It really is an exciting weekend, and it's going to be awesome to be a part of.
Yeah, you beat me to it. I was going to ask you to kind of give some updates on what's been happening around some of those other sports and what's going on. So I know you touched on it, but, yeah, kind of what a recap before all those things happen this weekend.
Yeah, so also coming up, Auburn softball, like I said, we hosting Louisiana Tech and Georgia Tech in the War Eagle Classic. Both those four games will take place on Friday and Saturday at J.B. Moore Field. And then, obviously, Auburn baseball hosts Tennessee at Plainsman Park Friday through Sunday. Gymnastics will not host but go to the NCAA Regionals in Berkeley this Friday for regionals. Top two teams from their regional, the night session, will advance to the regional final on Sunday in Berkeley as well for a chance to go to the NCAA championship. And like I mentioned, men's and women's tennis, they're in action this weekend. Men's at home, women's on the road. And men's and women's golf, they're starting to get closer to SEC championships. Both of those teams have won in recent weeks. So we're getting down to the postseason nearly for the spring sports. And obviously, gymnastics is wrapping up its season for the arena sports. And we'll have Tiger Talk on Thursday as well, speaking with Hugh Freeze and Butch Thompson about their respective seasons.
Awesome. Yeah, the final one of the year, correct?
Yep, that is correct. Wings 94.3 at Baumhauer's Victory Grill.
Awesome. Yep, you can catch that, like you said, on Wings 94.3. That'll be on Thursday at 6 here locally in Auburn, Opelika. Or you can go check it out with our friends over at Baumhauer's as well. Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network with us every single Monday. Hey, before we let you go, we got to get your Final Four picks, man. Who plays in the national championship game that we'll get to talk about on Monday?
Yeah, and I think this one's pretty obvious. I think you got to go with the 2-1 seeds. I think UConn's been so dominant, and I think that Purdue is just, I mean, they're due. I mean, that's no pun intended there, but I think they finally get over that hump of the Final Four, and now they're there. And I think that Zach Edey and DJ Burns, that matchup is going to either set back basketball 40 years or set basketball forward 40 years. I don't know which way it's going to go, but it's not going to be anywhere in between.
Yeah, Zach Edey coming off the game of his life where Tennessee had one guy to stop, and they just couldn't do it. And then, yeah, UConn is just, I mean, they're just dominating people. A 30-0 run against Illinois. I mean, what do you do against that kind of squad? So, yep, you got Purdue and UConn. We'll talk about it this time next Monday. Let everybody know where they can keep up with you and everything going on at the Auburn Sports Network.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at Jacob Hillman AU, as well as the Auburn Sports Network at AU Sports Network. Broadcast details will be posted there as we approach 8A and this incredible baseball and softball weekend.
Awesome, man. Hey, have a great rest of your week. Well, again, we'll talk to you next Monday.
Thanks for the time. War Eagle.
That's Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network. Check him out. Check out the Auburn Sports Network for everything you need when it comes to their broadcast of all of Auburn athletics that they are a part of. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap it up here on the Monday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
All right, winding down here on the Monday edition of On the Line. We appreciate you all being with us all show long. Been a great show. Phone lines have been rolling like crazy. We just got off the phone with Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network. We talk to him every Monday about everything going on in Auburn athletics. We had our good friend Chad Cosby in back in hour number one from Game Day Men's Health. Yeah. And so be sure you go and check them out if you're looking to, if you're a guy looking to feel a little bit better about yourself and just feel better physically, mentally, emotionally, yeah, go check out GameDayMen'sHealth.com. It's over off of Moores Mill Road. Check them out. They're local. First appointment's free. It's all you got to do. Give them a call, set an appointment, and go and check it out, right? Uncle T-Bone, you're there. You love it. And you can self-promote and, I guess, self-claim that Game Day Men's Health really gets
the job. Yeah, it's my testimonial with it so far, so good. I mean, look, check them out at GameDayMen'sHealth.com. It's more than just testosterone treatments. They've got about 10 to 15 different other services for men who just need a little pep in their step, and I was one of them. I feel a ton better after being with them. So, look, is low testosterone holding you back? Check them out at GameDayMen'sHealth.com. That's Chad Cosby. Tell them JG and Uncle T sent you. I promise you they will take care of you.
That's right. Well, hey, we got a couple of minutes here, and I want to talk. It looks like we may be having a phone call. We'll get them on real quick as well. But how about UConn blasting Illinois?
Oh, my gosh.
Alabama beating Clemson after Clemson had them beat and then blew it and let Alabama come back on them again and beat them again, and Clemson just got all sorts of sketched out and got scared and just started hucking up threes, which they cannot do. They've got one good shooter. He finally started making them. Everybody else couldn't hit. I mean, they were shooting up bricks. And like you said earlier, if you get in a three-point battle with Alabama, just go ahead and prepare to lose.
You have to attack the rim. That's just all there is to it. You have to play physical defense. A Klingman kid for UConn is going to feast on Alabama. They're going to try and get him in foul trouble early. Good luck with that. The replacement for Klingman, who comes off the bench, is fantastic. As long as UConn doesn't freak out and start hucking up three-pointers from the timeline, they're going to have a very solid game plan for Alabama. That's a good Alabama team, folks. Do not underestimate them, though. And if anybody can rise up and take care of business in prime time, it's the Tide. I've been watching them my whole life. I've been rooting against them my whole life. And do not underestimate them, folks.
Purdue beat Tennessee yesterday 72-66 in a really good game. We're about to get to the
Zach
phone lines.
Edey was incredible in that game.
Tennessee just couldn't find a way to
both
stop him.
Both he and Dalton Connect scored more points than everybody else on their team.
It was ridiculous. It was absolutely insane.
I mean, if Connect had not been connecting, no pun intended, they would have got killed.
But he had 37. I mean, and Edie had 40.
Missed two late threes, though. He cannot do it all.
No, they don't
do it all.
That's the problem. They had nobody else.
Nobody else could step up for them. Yep. And NC State was just fantastic against Duke. Went on a hot run to start the second half. Put the Blue Devils away. I love it. Get out of here, Filipowski, you punk. And I'm going to stay with NC State and the Wolfpack. They're going to take care of business.
Oh,
I'm rolling with the pack into the championship game.
Let's get to the phone lines one more time. 334-321-1390. Shane, what's up, man? How are you? You got a couple minutes.
Hey, guys. Hey, I haven't listened to your show or any other sports since last weekend. So I don't know what you're talking about, and I don't want to talk about what you're talking about. So I want to talk about baseball, if that's okay.
Yeah, go for it.
What's going on with our pitching? Because it seems like our bats are good enough to beat the. I mean, we play the number one, the number three, the number seven, or something like that team, and have hung in with them. We haven't got blasted by any of them. I mean, and it looks like we're going to pull the game off, and then like right there at the end. So what's going on with the pitching? I mean, do we not have it, or is it these other teams are just that good, or a combination?
I don't think we have enough of it. I think Auburn is struggling to have enough pitching when it comes to the bullpen, because you're bringing guys in that are just 4 and 5 miles an hour slower than these other guys are for these other SEC squads. And man, when you get to this level, you've got to be up where everybody else is, or you're going to get rocked. And that's the biggest problem is Auburn. You're right, Shane. Auburn is hanging around this entire time, and the starters, for the most part, are doing their job.
I was going to say that the starters haven't really been doing much. You know, they've been hanging in there. But if you look at the numbers, you know, they've been allowing a lot of runs, and then the closers come in and they got to keep it, you know, close. But you know, if we give our bat, you know, a run lead or something going into the sixth, seventh, eighth, something like that, then you know. The closers might have a little bit more, you know, oomph, a little more confidence to close it out. But it seems to me that we're allowing too many runs in the beginning from our starters to hold on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at the SEC games. I mean, Vanderbilt has scored 11, 13, and 9. Arkansas just scored the one in that opening night game, and then 6, and then 6 the next game. And then A&M this weekend was 9 runs, 12 runs, and 10 runs. Like, that's too many runs in college baseball, man. You can't expect to score that much each and every night.
And look at our runs. We're right there with them, too. We're like one run. We've been getting beat by like a run.
Yeah, 7, 8, and 9 this weekend. Yep.
Yeah, that should be enough to beat these teams, but
should be.
You know, we're not ranked anymore because we're you know 1 in 10 or whatever it is. But thankfully, our schedule is going to you know let loose a little bit, and we'll maybe be able to pick up some of these SEC wins in the near future.
Yeah, after this weekend, especially Shane, I'm with you though. It is also that these teams are that good that we've played. They're the best teams in college baseball.
Phenomenal.
I mean, this has got to be one of the toughest opening. Conference schedules ever.
I mean, ever. For a team. For any team.
Yeah, absolutely.
They bought a 1-3-7. Anyway, guys, War Eagle. Yep. We'll talk to y'all next week.
All right, thanks, Shane. Appreciate the call, man. That's it for the Monday edition of On the Line. One more time, I just thank you all so much, man. It's awesome. We're in 2 years now, and I hope we're here for another 2 years. Uncle T-Bone, thank you, brother. Thank you to all the listeners, man. It's been a lot of fun. We'll continue to have the most fun on the radio. I can promise you that.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jacob. I love being here. You're a heck of a host, man. It's a great show. Thank you, Chad Cosby from Game Day Men's Health, for being a partner with us and getting in here today. Check them out at www.gamedaymenshealth.com.
You'll be back on Wednesday. I'll be back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Double D, Daryl Dapprich will be with me in hour number 2 as well. Until tomorrow, he's Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.